How do we build our dreams when we don't know what we want? Learn how Flaunt solves this problem in 5 bold and glittery steps with radio host Laura Cheadle. Using a combination of best girlfriend discussions and therapy-based exercises, listeners are taught how to build their dreams and live their sparkle. Flaunt. Find your fetish, laugh out loud, accept unconditionally, navigate the negative, and trust in your truth.
Hello, this is Laura Cheadle, and this is the show Flaunt, Build Your Dreams, Live Your Sparkle. Right now, we are in the process of doing several on-air life choreography sessions. And life choreography sessions are fantastic because they allow the person that I'm working with to kind of meander around and let me know what they're thinking about and let me know where they're and I can give some exercise or some feedback or some tips and tricks that will hopefully get them thinking and figuring out where they want to be next. And then we just kind of let things flow from there. To review, FLAUNT is an acronym. F stands for Find Your Fetish, which is finding what you love and figuring out how to incorporate what makes you happy into your everyday life. L is for loving and for laughing out loud. And again, that dovetails nicely with finding your fetish, but it's about bringing that laughter into your everyday life in appropriate ways as often as you can. AU is for accepting unconditionally, which does tend to be one of the harder pieces. It's about accepting everyone and everything as they are, not as we wish they would be. N is for navigating the negative, and that can be negativity from somebody else or from a job, or more importantly, that can be those negative thoughts, beliefs, and patterns that creep up in our own minds and in our own hearts. The next one is for T, and that's for trusting your truth. And that's a big one. That's about being who you are, not who you were told you should be. That's trusting your heart to live your life in the way that you feel is the most appropriate for you. Today we have got Christine, and we will start in. I will introduce her, and we will just go through a life choreography session with her, and we will see how everything plays out. So welcome, Christine.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Now, we talked a little bit before the show, and I know you've got several things going on in your life. I also know that when we talked, you had said, like, you miss dancing. And you sometimes want to learn how to navigate the negativity, and you want to bring more laughter into your life. So those are kind of some of the big three things. I didn't know if there was one area in particular you wanted to chat about or one thing you wanted to get started on.
They all kind of really wrap together, really.
Yeah.
Right now I'm on a mission to find my happiness.
Exactly. And talk to me about how you feel your happiness level is right now, pretty much on a daily basis, where you're at with things.
I'm dealing with some extreme stress in my life right now, so it does vary pretty greatly, kind of depending on where things are. I've had a little bit of a break. Some difficult relationships right now. So right now I'm feeling pretty content. I'm going through a separation and dealing with a lot of issues with my son, so the happiness really can vary. He's been with his dad for a few weeks. It's been nice to have a break, but I'm missing him at the same time. So it can really vary pretty dramatically. You know, like on a scale of 1 to 10, anywhere between a 4 and an 8, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's really common to move in and out of the intensity of those different emotions.
Yeah.
Now, when you are feeling pretty positive, pretty happy about things, I want you to describe that feeling to me in terms of a couple of things. I want you to tell me where you feel that happiness in your body, in your physical body, And then I want you to kind of describe how it feels on an emotional level as best that you can.
Where I feel it, my physical body. You know, it's funny, I think I feel it in my shoulders, in my stomach, in my, you know, when you're happy, I think you stand upright, your posture's better. Suddenly
mm-hmm.
I feel like you can move a little more freely. You know, if you're really describing the physical body, my hips and legs, everything just seems to flow.
Yes. Yes. Right.
And then, of course, emotionally, you can breathe easier. You just don't have this, I think sometimes with the stress or unhappiness comes maybe some general feelings of anxiety, and those tend to subside the heavier you are.
Mm-hmm.
More peaceful. You're thinking more about what you're doing and not about what you should be doing or what needs to happen next. You're just, I think, living in the moment a little more.
Exactly. No, I think that's so true. Okay, so it sounds, I love that you right away came up with some really good words and some really good descriptions of that. I wanted to describe a little bit the reason why I asked you that and why that's important to finding happiness in your everyday life and kind of bringing that laughter in. When you have slept at night, have you ever dreamed that you were falling and then twitched or jerked so hard that you kind of woke yourself up? Okay. What happens in a situation like that is your mind is creating a story. And it doesn't matter if that story is that you're slipping on ice or that you're falling downstairs or whatever. But your mind creates a story, and your body reacts to the story that was created in your mind. And the slipping and falling one is just something that's very common, but there's a lot of other great examples like that. You know, sometimes we have a dream that somebody does something, and then the next time we see him, we kind of feel mad at him. And then we're, you know, we laugh because we know it was a dream, but those emotions are still there. And my whole point with that, is that the mind is so powerful. But what it creates, the body believes, and our emotional system believes. So knowing that that's true, we can consciously work to create our own emotions simply by what we choose to do with our thoughts and our emotions and our physical postures. And knowing what your body feels like when you're in a happy state is a great, it's wonderful. Sometimes people are like, I don't know, I just kind of feel happy. And then they really have to work with how are they moving when they're happy. And I like that way you said, you flow, your arms and legs move, your shoulders are, you know, back, your chest is upright, everything flows. And it's just that happy feeling. And if you start moving your body in that happy, you know, in that happy way, even when you're not feeling great, it kind of clues the emotions in to feeling happy. And then on the same, you know, by the same thing, emotionally, if you can change your shallow, stressed out breath into a more peaceful breath, if you can pull your mind in to being in the moment, you can kind of trick yourself into being happy. And sometimes it's easier to fake it physically and to let everything else come into play. Sometimes it's easier to, you know, fake it emotionally and let everything come into play. And sometimes your chest is collapsed, you're exhausted, you feel like you're going to cry, and the only thing you've got is your imagination. And when that happens, just really need to focus on creating some happy scenario in your mind. Now, the key to doing that is, depending on how low you are, it's harder to make a jump from being rock bottom to sky high because that's not believable to our mind. It has to be done in increments. So if you're at rock bottom, creating a story that's, you know, 10 degrees happier. Once you get to be 10 degrees happier, creating a story in your mind that's 10 degrees happier. And moving yourself up in increments is the best way to do it. And like that, you mentioned you're going through a separation. There's problems with your, you know, your son. when you're feeling your worst, if all of a sudden you started telling yourself, life is great, it's wonderful, and I'm so blessed, even though it's true, you are blessed. Life can be wonderful. You're not going to buy it when you're in a really bad state. So the key to creating that story is just creating something a little bit better, whether it's we'll get through this, tomorrow I'm going to meet a girlfriend for a pedicure, just something small to kind of raise yourself up out of that. Does some of that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And it doesn't really matter where you start, but everything that I work on in the life choreography sessions focuses either, you know, on mind, body, spirit, the emotions, the physicality, you know, whatever it is, figuring out whichever one is your strongest and working with that dominant sense is going to be the most powerful for you. Now, I'm going to ask you, what do you think your most dominant sense is? And if you don't have any idea, that's fine too, but what do you think your strongest? Moving your body physically, kind of the emotionally, the intellectual, what do you think is the strongest area for you?
I think emotional is the strongest area.
Okay, perfect. So that's a great place to start. That will be your task then to kind of bring some of this laughter into your life, is moving into that emotional area and starting to create some stories around happy emotions. And you had mentioned breath, and that's something that you could almost do as like a walking meditation, deepening your breath, slowing the breath down, lengthening the breath, focusing on feeling peaceful, being in the moment. I love that you mentioned being at the moment because that's so huge. And just kind of see where that takes you when you're feeling down. And it's just the moment that you catch it. You know, you said you're on that scale, 4 to 8. Just when you kind of start sliding yourself down, catch it emotionally and see if you can bring it back up and just see what that does for you. Now, do you have any questions on that?
No, I like to talk about.
Okay. Do you think that's... Yeah, because it is too hard because feeling sad sometimes and being, you know, emotional, it's normal and it's healthy to kind of hit all those different levels. And to ask ourselves to all of a sudden elevate is just not really realistic sometimes. Now, what else are you thinking about? Talk to me a little bit more about finding joy in your day. When do you have a tendency to feel the happiest in the morning, in the evening? Just kind of talk to me about that general flow.
I tend to feel it the most in the morning and then at the end of my work day.
Okay. Right. So would you say your job and everything is just kind of a stressful thing for you?
Not stressful as far as working there, but the job itself. And I work for a really great company, but it's a pretty fast-paced job, which is high volume. And when dealing with stressful situations, I deal with, I evaluate injury claims from auto accidents.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of times people just really aren't happy to be talking to you at all. So.
No, that makes sense. What are some of the tools that you do right now to bring in some laughter and bring in some joy into that?
I'm starting to be better about just taking breaks away from my desk.
Good.
Not feeling like I need to do everything in one day. I'm not going anywhere. And
right.
Taking breaks instead of working through lunch, getting out and taking a quick walk, things like that.
Good. Good, good, good. Yeah, I love that because being out in nature, I think, really changes anybody's mood, no matter what the weather is. I mean, I think it's my favorite when it's sunny, but just being outside can really refresh, I think, anybody in any situation. Now, what about humor? Do you think funny thoughts throughout the day? Are there some funny situations at work? Do you consider yourself a funny person? How do you kind of see all that?
First off, when you said that, but I think I'm pretty funny. I find humor in myself, which, I don't know, that kind of keeps me going. But I do have some really wonderful coworkers, and with everything I've been going through, they've been kind of like my family, but there's this kind of this constant banter that's really lighthearted and positive between the group of us.
Good. Good. Yeah, I think that helps too, and I think it's really lucky and nice that you've got that among other people, because, you know, sometimes in a work situation, people don't have that, or there's always the fear of, you know, crossing the line with humor, and humor helps so much. Even, and I do think you're a funny person. I think that's wonderful, but I think even, especially when you're not feeling funny, it's just important to kind of keep reaching for that kind of a humor. And sometimes I suggest that people keep a humor notebook, and it doesn't have to be a real spiral notebook or anything like that. It can just be something that you jot down, or making memos, you know, on the note thing on your phone or something like that. Just writing down little things that you find humorous throughout the day, and it really keeps you looking for the positive. And it can be preschool potty humor, or it can be sophisticated humor. It doesn't really matter, but it's just looking for kind of all those ironic, humorous things that happen throughout the day. And it can even be as simple as knowing that you only get in bad traffic when you're running late. And that way, instead of being like, bad traffic and I'm running late, why does this always happen to me? I hate it, it's always me. You know, and falling into that victim mode, then it really kind of becomes that ironic humor thing. You know, like, ha, 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 one of Murphy's Laws. Of course, wouldn't you know, I'm running late today. That's why there's an accident that's slowing me down. And that's just, yeah, and that's a really powerful thing to do. And I would just encourage you, especially with some of the serious stuff at home, to just kind of keep looking for things that you can make funny. And you are a funny person. You can make a lot of things funny. Yeah, that's a fun one. And also with your kids, sometimes they think it's dorky, especially as they get older, that here we are looking for funny things. But I think it's a good thing to also kind of help teach our kids. Keep looking for the humor in this situation. And it just teaches them in the long run that things aren't necessarily positive or negative. It's not a tragedy or, you know, a comedy. It's a little bit of both. It just depends on how they spin it. Yeah, and I think that would be really, really useful, especially going through a separation and having the stress that they're going in under too.
Something I look for with my son anyway, but I like
specifically
about that. So.
Yeah, because it's just kind of creating that whole new habit. Now, let's talk a little bit, this is sort of along the same lines, but it's a little bit different. Finding your fetish. Do you feel like you have a hobby or something that is specifically yours right now? Something that you can go to whenever you really want to nurture yourself?
I don't. This is something that just kind of came up today, is kind of dealing with that. One child gone, the other one a teenager, and I've kind of been lonely and home today. Like, I've got to find something to do so I'm not getting bored and depressed.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, go back. I want you to kind of go back to a time in your life when not necessarily you were the happiest, but a time in your life where you really were happy. And I want you to just tell me about that a little bit.
I feel happy when I feel good. So there was a time, you know, only as recently as about a year ago when I was really taking a lot of fitness classes. I was starting to lose some weight. I was feeling strong. I was feeling flexible. Things were just feeling positive for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was recently. I think before that, it's been a long time. Probably not since before my mom died, and that was almost 10 years ago.
Right. Now, before, like that, before she died, when you were little, when you were feeling good, what were some of the things that made you feel good? Because this time you mentioned taking fitness classes and feeling strong, and I'm just curious if when you go back to childhood, if one of the things that is a memory to you is maybe running around on the playground, you know, feeling strong, feeling active. If I'm curious if physical movement is kind of a key for you or not. That's why I'm just kind of asking.
I actually really do think that. I think when I think of my happiest times through high school, I was in palms,
mm-hmm.
dancing, cheer. Before that, it's when I've been in theater on stage.
Yes.
I think movement, I think there's a direct connection to my movement versus how I feel emotionally.
Right. Right. Now, where are you right now in terms of taking dance classes or taking fitness classes? What are you doing with that right now?
Very little right now. I'm trying to get the gym just to move a few days
right.
a week, just get on the treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's something like I have to.
Right. But you're not necessarily having fun.
Not always. No, more like I feel good when I'm done with it. But yes, okay. I'm just doing it because I don't want any fat.
Right. Right. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever done this, but there are, and I'm not, same thing, I'm not sure if you're good at it at home necessarily, but there are a ton of dance classes online. Like YouTube, there's some dance studios that have like dance classes that you can stream. Have you ever checked into anything like that?
I haven't.
Okay, because there's just online, there's so many resources online. But since you mentioned cheer and palms, sometimes some of the joy that comes with a choreographed dance like that is being taught the choreography and learning and then perfecting the moves. And that's something that in a fitness class you get a little bit of. You know, sometimes it's like, woohoo, I learned 16 counts. But you don't necessarily get to perfect it and then work with it. And some of the videos online, like there's some of the entire Michael Jackson video dances online, you know, done in tutorials. And they are a ton of fun to do. I mean, I'm like you. I love dancing. I love that movement. And that's really fun. But that's something that if you can create a little library within YouTube or just download some of these different dance videos or even buy some of them, there's some, you know, great things that you can also find online to buy. It's just a fun thing to do, and it's a workout, but it's more than that. It really kind of gets you outside of yourself and gets you doing something that's enjoyable to do and that's fun to do. And same thing, I'm not sure if you're near a rec center or not, but there's typically a lot of belly dancing or adult ballet or ballroom or tap or things like that. And there's also a couple of different nightclubs around that do like the salsa dancing lessons, and there are no partners required. It's just something you show up. Everybody shows up singly for like $10 for the hour. You get a whole dance class.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So spend some time Googling or YouTubing or things like that, and I can help you too if you want help and point you in some of the right directions. But that's something fun, and just see what that kind of does for you, you know, and if that's something you can kind of get excited about and something that can kind of reconnect you into that joy of dance. Because if that brings you joy, that's definitely something you need to focus on then. Okay? Do you want any other suggestions on that, or do you want any other ideas on that, or do you have anything else to say with finding your fetish?
No, I like that. It's so funny. I just didn't quite, you know, thinking of a fetish as something mm-hmm. that you do for you that gives you joy and makes you happy, and I hadn't thought about it. It only just crossed my mind today that I need to start finding a hobby. So
mm-hmm.
I like that. Dance could be fun. It could bring some joyful emotion into this space as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, too, as, I mean, dance is a big one for me, obviously, but so many of the different things that I found that are really dance-related, there's even churches that have, you know, the drumming circle and the sacred movement classes, and there's just so much out there, and it's all for, not all, but there's a lot for adults. I even recently ran into a group, and I wish I could remember their name because I'd love to promote them, but they are a group out of San Francisco, I believe it is, and they were at like a nursing home for like first-generation Chinese women or something like that in particular, and they're a group of women in their 80s, and they put together this dance team, and they perform all over California, and they are crazy adorable, and they are crazy good. And the story is something like they've been together for 12 years or something like that. And for right now, their age is like 70 to 92 or something insane like that. But, oh, yeah. And there, you know, there are many of them, or most of them are widowed. But, oh, my gosh, they are adorable. And I need to look that up, and I need to get some of that information on my website, because they're fantastic. But they found each other. You know, there are all these women who love dancing, and they love dancing like in a drill team, and they've got costumes, and they found each other, because whatever fetish you have, I guarantee other people have it too, and they would love to be working with you. Okay? Now, moving kind of through that again, finding your fetish, bringing laughter into your life, how do you feel you're doing with unconditional acceptance? Of everything, of the situation that's going on in your life, with where you're at, kind of with other people, do you feel like you're kind of banging your head against the wall wishing things were different, or do you think you kind of have a handle on accepting things where they're at?
I feel like I have a handle, but I do feel like I have a, I don't know if it even really applies, I can find myself just like, why me? Why am I the one that's going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I do this? So
exactly.
I'm constantly questioning why I can't be someone who's happy.
Right. Right. Is that more negativity, or is that more acceptance? How do you feel about that?
That's probably more negativity.
Okay.
I think I've handled acceptance well. I've jumped right into everything, dealt with my son, and it's just, all right, what needs to be done? What do I need to do? What needs to happen next?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it seems like you have, and it seems like you're really realistic with, like, that. What needs to be done next? What do I need to do? How do I handle that? Yeah. Now, just with the whole negativity thing, again, going back to changing what you can change, whether it's changing your posture, whether it's changing the story that you're telling yourself in your mind, you know, why me, how can this be, stuff like that, just switching that message into something positive. And again, not too big of a stretch, not going from why me to, oh my gosh, this is the best lesson I've ever gotten, and I'm going to be the strongest person in the world, you know, having gone through this. But just changing that story a little bit instead of why me, even something more along the lines of, although this is hard, I still love and accept myself, and I know I'll get through it. Just changing that message, upgrading it a tiny bit, changing your posture, or again, faking that emotional state a little bit until you make it. When you slide into that negativity, just thinking about what the opposite emotion would be and finding a way to slide yourself up into that. When you feel like giving up, thinking, okay, well, the opposite of giving up is charging ahead. Not sure if I can really charge ahead, but I need to get myself in that emotional frame of mind of moving ahead and making progress and going forward and not being stagnant. And just moving the emotions from that quitting and draining to a slight lifting and just seeing what happens with that. Now, what about kind of this last one, this trusting your truth piece? Where are you feeling like you're at with that?
I feel like I've been doing that a lot since everything has happened to my husband and I. But trusting that I know what I'm doing is right because I need to make these choices for me and not just for not just for other people. I'm getting there. I feel like I can look, you know, I can look at myself in one way and say I feel like I have a lot of work to do, but when I look at where I was 6 months ago, I'm a lot more confident. I trust myself more.
Good. Good.
Definitely something I have to think about every day, just trying to find out. I think when things are negative, it's easy to slide back into the way that everyone else wants you to be.
Oh my gosh, absolutely, yeah. Now, does that make sense when things are negative about finding something either physically, emotionally, or mentally to just make a little change?
It does. And a little one is good. That seems like a really easy way to start, you know, thinking, drawing on what is it, how do I physically feel when I'm happy, like what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm feeling that I'm not, watch my posture, watch my the way I move, or maybe even just get up and move.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And again, it's not about changing everything. It's just pointing you in the right direction. I really like to think of it as, which way is the arrow pointing? It's either pointing towards love and light, or it's pointing towards fear and darkness. You know, and just moving that arrow bit by bit by bit by bit to get it going in the right direction. And even if you can't get it completely up towards love and light, raise it however high, you know, as high as you can, and then let it go. And then the next day, maybe you can raise it a little bit more, and eventually you'll be there. But I really do think it's all in the degrees. And I think it's important that we don't set ourselves up for failure, because our society really kind of has that quick fix mentality. And we see things on TV, and we see things in, you know, magazines and the newspaper, and we really believe, I think, after seeing it so often, that everybody's living this perfect life, and that when things fall apart, bam, we can just fix it. And there's really very few things ever that can just, you know, have your fingers snapped and be fixed. I know, darn it. But it's just like that whole, I like to think of it as the Photoshop mentality. We look at pictures in magazines, and they've all been Photoshopped. They've all been touched up and edited, and pretty soon we start thinking that's reality. And then pretty soon we start, without even thinking about it, we're judging ourselves against what we think is reality, but it's not. So then we look in the mirror, and we think there's something wrong with us. We never look in the mirror and look at each other and say, oh my gosh, this is normal. Those pictures look so weird. Yeah. And that happens with so many things. We always think everybody else's job is better. Everybody else's marriage is better. Everybody else's kids are better. And it's just so easy to tank emotionally and just change it by degrees, and eventually you'll get there. And when you're not there, I think it's also really important to continue to be kind to ourselves I'm not there. I'm having a bad day. You know, I'm trying. It is. But we really are entitled to a full range of emotions. And part of the human experience is having a full range of emotions. And when we think about being on the other side, you know, and planning out our lives, we've planned full ranges of emotions for ourselves, because it would be a pretty boring life if everything was just hunky-dory all the time and really no growth would happen. So experience the bad emotions, but then just lift it up by a tiny bit. Experience some more bad stuff, lift it up a tiny bit, and be okay with wherever you're at. And I think that's the biggest piece of trusting your truth. When you're having a horrible day and you're totally depressed over things that are happening and you've talked to a bunch of negative people at work, trust in your truth, that your truth is telling you yourself physically to create. Are you there?
Yeah, I think you cut out there.
Okay. Yeah. Choose to create a better story, but still trust that you are where you're at and that you're okay being where you're at. Okay. Yeah. Oh, small increments are huge, 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 huge. You've mentioned you've had two kids. Every single day when you're pregnant, changes happen. And every single day you don't notice your stomach getting bigger and you don't notice what's happening with the baby. And even if you have a nice little see-through stomach, on a daily basis, you really wouldn't see those changes. But at the end of 9 months, the changes that have taken place have produced an entire baby pretty much out of nothingness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, being a mom, that's an analogy I can really get into, because day by day by day when you're pregnant, doesn't seem like that much is happening. But 9 months is not a lot of time, and a lot happens within those 9 months. And that's exactly what can happen within your world and your life and your emotions, just day by day doing tiny little steps along the way to kind of change the way you feel, the way you think, the games you play with yourself. Okay. Do you have any other comments or thoughts or ideas or what's going on in your head?
It's a good reminder for me to take it small day by day. That's my biggest, I think, hold up or biggest frustration, is that I'm over it and I just want this change now.
Right.
And that's where it gets overwhelming, I think, when you try to just suddenly make a drastic change right away.
Right. Right.
You're just going to fall back and not keep working on it every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's certain things you can do. And there's certain things you can't do. And when you can't do anything else, yeah, why bang your head against the wall? Mm-hmm. And how? Good. Good, good, good. And then my last question is, how are you at staying connected to divine source, you know, to the universe? How good are you at feeling trusted and supported, you know, that you're a co-creator? How good do you think you are at staying connected to all of that?
I don't think I'm good when I'm on my own. I'm good mm-hmm. when I can surround myself with that energy, with those people. When I'm at my, you know, when I'm at church or with a women's group or with friends who believe it's easy, that
mm-hmm.
person's good and that's when I feel connected. But there's a gap when I'm on my own.
Right. I can totally relate. I think that's typical. So are you pretty committed then to having a good schedule with women's group or friends or church?
I am, yeah. To things that are already structured and already in place, I'm good at saying, oh, yeah, I'll go to that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, on my own. It's challenging kind of constantly seek that out.
Yeah, right, right. No, I understand, because we tend to need other people or ideas or just books. I'm not sure if the books will do it for you too. Sometimes just those little daily things, whether it's online, you can sign up for the different, daily spiritual reminders. And sometimes just having that starting the day helps focus the thoughts in the right direction. Yeah. Yeah, no, everything small, I think, is so important. Yeah. Okay, well, I feel like you're in good shape. I feel like you know yourself well. You understand the process and the journey that you're on. It's just kind of a matter of making small changes. Just doing some small shifts, consciously looking for laughter, consciously looking for ways to dance, kind of outside the box, not necessarily just going to the gym, but just looking for some different things and just shifting some small things. But it feels to me like you do know where you're going. And like you said, you just want it done. Yeah. But I feel like you're in good shape. So I hope this has been helpful for you.
Reminder to just start small, what I needed to hear. That's really good for me.
Well, good. Well, thank you so much, Ben, for taking the time to do an on-air life choreography session.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You are welcome. There's so much about Flaunt that's important. We've worked with Christine, we've worked with other people over the last, several weeks doing life choreography lessons and getting unstuck. But I just wanted to spend a few minutes really kind of talking about this process a little bit more. Life is filled with transitions. We all go through a variety of transitions, whether they're transitions that we anticipate or they're transitions that we don't anticipate. For example, if we choose to leave our job, it's a little bit different of a transition than if we get laid off. Same thing if we choose to leave a marriage versus somebody choosing to leave the marriage and, we're not really the victim, but the one who's being told that and we're not actively making the choice. The transition and the result is the same, but the energy going into that transition can be so different, depending on whether it's something that we choose or whether it's something that's thrust upon us. And so often when we choose a transition, we understand that it can be positive. We understand that it's an opportunity for growth, that in the long run things will be better, that we're just getting through this difficult part, things like that. But sometimes when a transition is put upon us, it's really difficult to do that. It's easy to feel like the victim. It's easy to feel like we're doing something wrong or we're being punished, and to kind of fall into that mentality of, oh, why me, poor me. And it's funny because whether we choose to leave a job or whether we got fired from a job, the end result is still the same. We are without that thought. And it's really up to us then to work with that and to figure out where that's going to take us and what that is going to lead to in our life. Any transition that we go through truly is an opportunity for growth. And on the surface, I think everybody is aware of that. Everybody loves thinking of positive, and everybody loves thinking about what's really going to come up for them. But when we're already feeling down, it can be really challenging to stay positive. It's like when people really have depression, you can't just tell a person who's depressed to snap out of it and to go be happy. They really, truly can't do that because it's too hard. And I do want to acknowledge that with regard to transitions too. Yes, it's an opportunity for growth. Yes, it's going to lead to something new and wonderful. But oh my goodness, sometimes there's times when it's truly just hard and when we can't think positive. And that's okay too. Obviously, there's a lot of different treatment options for real, true clinical depression, but I don't really want to move into that. What I want to move into is just when we're stuck and allowing ourselves to grieve, and that sometimes waiting is what we need to do, and sometimes grieving is what we need to do. And it's really important to know these steps of FLAUNT and to figure out how to take ourselves back up, how to find our fetish, how to laugh out loud, how to be positive and accept unconditionally, how to navigate the negative with a lightheartedness, with a sense of play, with a sense of adventure, and ultimately how to trust in our truth. But I also think it's important to realize that sometimes it is our truth to be sad, and that's okay too. Laughter is hugely important, but being sad is sometimes hugely important too. And I know I've talked about this before, but emotions aren't good or bad, they just are. And obviously we enjoy the positive emotions more than we enjoy the negative emotions, but ultimately they're just emotions. And it's our job to feel and to acknowledge all of the emotions that come up within us. And if we feel sad, or if we feel angry, or hurt, or depressed, or frustrated, or whatever emotion it is that we tend to classify as a negative emotion, sometimes our best bet is to feel that emotion for a while, not to pretend that it doesn't exist, not to run off and, you know, find our exercise class or find something that we want to do for the sake of not moving into that emotion. It's fine to keep making ourselves happy, but we also need to acknowledge what we're feeling. In terms of acknowledge the sadness, acknowledge the frustration, acknowledge the grief, and to give ourselves the opportunity and the space to feel those emotions, then when we're ready to move into that laughter and that finding our fetish again, we've processed it. We've processed those negative emotions, and we truly are free to go do things. Finding things to bring us up is fantastic and valid. Avoiding processing and avoiding negative emotions can be a way to distract ourselves from more opportunities for growth. And I just really wanted to point that out and to have everybody be aware of that. If there's some days people don't feel like getting out of bed, they just want to cry or be tired, and that's absolutely okay. You just don't want to spend 5 days there or get in that negative habit. But it really is an okay place, especially when we're dealing with transition, and especially when we're dealing with transition that we haven't chosen. It's really okay to honor our feelings as they are. And I think that's an important part of trusting our own truth. All of our feelings come up for a reason. All of our emotions come up for a reason. And when we're honoring the good, it also means we need to honor what we perceive as the negative. And along those same lines, what we perceive as negative, you know, grief, depression, anger, sadness, there's other cultures, there's other times when those aren't perceived as negative at all. There's other cultures that perceive these as normal emotions, and they honor them, and they give people the space that they need to move through them. And if you have ever known somebody who is going through a tough situation, whether it's a death or a divorce or a job loss or whatever it is, you really expect them to go through that sad place. And it's interesting because our culture is not very comfortable sometimes with others who are going through a place of grief or loss. And I've always thought part of that is because of our own discomfort with dark or sad emotions. And at one point, I was actually in a wonderful class that dealt with forgiveness. And the topic on that was when you're around somebody who is crying, about how you should not run and hand them a Kleenex, and how we are indoctrinated to believe that we should offer comfort. We should say, quit crying, it's okay, and we should hand somebody a Kleenex. But in essence, what we're doing when we try to comfort somebody and we say things like, quit crying, it'll be okay, and we hand them a Kleenex, is we're telling them, I'm not okay with your display of emotions. You shouldn't be okay with your display of emotions. And, oh my gosh, you better quit crying or things are going to get bad. And the suggestion in that class was when you are around somebody who is in a negative state, a sad state when they're crying, to really resist the urge to, comforting is okay, saying, you know, I'm here for you, things like that, but to resist the urge to try to dry their tears, to try to give them a Kleenex, to try not to give them a Kleenex, to try to really resist saying or doing anything that will stifle their expression of grief, and instead to start getting comfortable with just being there, allowing somebody to express what is. And then on the flip side of that, when we are in that same state, being comfortable enough to express our tears, to express our emotions, and I'm not saying you have to do that in the workplace, but with friends, with family, with somebody that you're comfortable enough, to be okay to express that without apologizing. I'm so sorry, I'll try to quit, I'll get a hold of myself, things like that. To just slowly start getting comfortable with expressions of emotion that are typically perceived as negative emotion. So I do want to leave everybody with that, just kind of to close out this show, that absolutely flaunt is about having fun. It's about finding things you enjoy. It's about laughing and bringing laughter and joy and lightheartedness into your life. It's about not getting caught up in situations that we can't control. It's about navigating our internal as well as our external environments that tend to be negative or take us off track. And it's about trusting our truth, but trusting our truth includes the full, wide scope of emotions. Positive, neutral, negative, whatever. Our truth is all encompassing. Our truth is not just positive. So I just kind of wanted to address that, because building your dreams and living your sparkle is really positive and it is really fun to do. But I also want to make sure that anybody out there listening to this show doesn't think that that's all it's about. I want everybody to know that I get sad. I get frustrated. I get angry. I want to quit. So does everybody. And that's part of my truth, and that's part of your truth, and that's part of everybody's truth that's out there. And I just really wanted to close out this show by expressing that. Transitions are hard. Life is hard. There's a lot of the negativity, and yes, we can learn how to navigate it, and we can use all these fun, positive tips and tricks, but please trust your truth. And when your truth is telling you that you need a day off, or that you need to move into some grief, or you need to move into some mourning, do that too, and allow yourself space and time to do that. Now, it's perfectly valid to put some limits on your grief. It's perfectly valid to go get professional help if you realize that you've moved into these negative emotions too long. And it's absolutely okay to do what it takes to make yourself feel better. But please know, trust your truth. Honor all emotions. Honor everything that's part of you. And I just wanted to address that before we close out this week's show. If you'd like to work with me, please reach out. I'd love to hear from you. You can reach me by phone at 303-994-4945, or you can send me an email at Laura, L-O-R-A, at pyramidfusion.com. I'd love to work with you in person. I'd love to interview you on the air. I'd also love to do some angel readings, which are intuitive readings, where I read the energy of your physical body, as well as the energy of the guides and deceased loved ones that are around you. So if you have any interest in an angel reading as well, please give me a call. Sometimes, like with Flaunt, we know exactly what we want. Sometimes we have no idea what we want, and we kind of need help finding it. And sometimes having that intuitive nudge is exactly what we need to kind of get us over the hump and get us figuring out what it is that we want. I will see you next time. And in the meantime, don't forget to flaunt.
Tune in next time to Flaunt. Build your dreams, live your sparkle with radio host Laura Cheadle every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come release outdated labels, roles, and scripts. Reveal the calling of your soul and re-choreograph your own life, even when you're unsure of what you want. In 5 bold and glittering strokes, you too can build your dreams and live your sparkle. Find out more about Laura at pyramidfusion.com.